I'd like to read a verse. Not much, but it's in John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 8, page 1278. Page 1278, John's Gospel. It's 1279 I want to highlight. Verse 11. This is Jesus speaking. Neither do I condemn thee. God is not in the condemning business tonight. He's in the saving business. No condemnation. God is looking about, out on men in love. He knows our problem. He knows what we need. He has the answer. He wants to give it to you tonight. This is the words of the Lord Jesus. I'll just read the other bit from the beginning of the chapter. It gives a setting. And the setting is very interesting. It's an amazing setting. John 8 verse 1. The last verse is, everyone went to his own home, but Jesus went to Mount Olives. And early in the morning, he came again to the temple. And all the people came to him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees bring to him a woman taken adultery. And having set her in the midst, they say to him, Teacher, this woman has been taken in the very act, committing adultery. And the law of Moses has commanded that us to stone such. Thou therefore, what sayest thou? This they said, proving him, they might have something to accuse him of. But Jesus, having stooped down, wrote with his finger on the ground. When they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said to them, Let him that is without sin among you cast the first stone at her. Again, stripping down, he wrote on the ground. But they, having heard that, went out one by one, beginning from the elder ones until the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing there. Jesus, lifting himself up and seeing no one but the woman, said to her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no one condemned thee? She said, No one, sir. He said to her, Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. This is an amazing setting. I want to take you to the temple. Let's go to the temple. Very early in the morning. Who's there? Crowds of people. All the people, it says. Big city, Jerusalem. Lots of people there. Very early in the morning. Who's there? Jesus is there too. He's there. If they're there, he's there. Went to the Mount of Olives at night, but in the morning he's there early, and he sat down and taught them. What grace. The Lord sat down amongst all the people. That would be men and women, boys and girls. The Lord loves the young people. He said, You bring them to me, he said. Don't you put them off. You bring them here. The Lord loves the young people. He loves the older ones too. This woman, I suppose, is older. But he loves the young people. It was all the people came to him. What an attraction he was. And sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees bring him a woman taken adultery. Having set her in the midst. Just a minute. What are you doing, setting somebody else in the midst? Interrupting what Jesus is doing? He's sitting here teaching the people. Did the Pharisees care about that? No, they didn't care about that. They bring a woman taken adultery. Set her in the midst. Well, just a minute. The Lord is teaching. Just ask permission. No, no. No permission from the scribes and Pharisees. They interrupted the Lord Jesus in what he was doing. Didn't they? They set her in the midst. But then all the people around Jesus, and he's sitting there teaching them. And then says to him, in front of everybody else, to expose Jesus if they could, this woman taking adultery. Now the law, Moses might have sown such. Therefore, what do you say? Oh, what a catch question. What a catch question, eh? What a catch question. This they said, proving him, they might have something to accuse him. Jesus had put up a lot of opposition, accusation while he was here. What does he do? What does he say? Nothing. Jesus, having stooped down, wrote with his finger on the ground. I like that. Stoops down and wrote on the ground. Who knows what he wrote? They didn't know, I suppose. They weren't interested, were they? They wanted to catch him out. He wrote with his finger on the ground. What did he write? Scripture doesn't tell us what he wrote, but I can guess. Maybe I'm wrong. I think he wrote something like, I don't condemn you. Because from what the Lord said later, he didn't condemn the woman, did he? Anyway, he wrote on the ground, and they continued at him. They wouldn't miss his opportunity, would they? They continued asking him. He lifted himself up and said to them, now listen to this, let him, that is without sin among you, first cast a stone at her. Let him. Not you, because the Pharisees who had brought to Jesus and the scribes, they mouthed, well, we're all right, we haven't got sin, we'll say, we'll do it. No. The Lord brings it down to everyone. Let him, that is without sin, cast the first stone. The gospel's like that. It comes to you personally. Him. Now, even the scribes and Pharisees wouldn't say they're without sin, would they? Who would dare to say they were without sin? Then the Lord just knelt down and he just wrote it down on the ground. Said nothing. What happened? How long it was? They, having heard that, went out one by one, beginning from the elder ones until the last. Why did the elder ones go out first? Because they're the bigger sinners. The older you are, the more sins you've committed. The younger ones, no, not so many. They all went out, but the elder one first. I like this. Just left alone with the woman standing there. That's what the gospel's all about. Jesus wants to speak to you alone. He wants to speak to you personally because he loves you and he's not condemning you. Or you say, this woman should be condemned. Let's go with the woman. And Jesus lifted himself up again. See no more the woman. That means that the accusers weren't there. A lot of people were still around him, of course. He says to her, woman, where are those thine accusers? All these people who brought the woman. They probably didn't treat her very nicely before. They put her in the midst in front of Jesus, interrupting him in his teaching. No one, sir. Neither do I condemn thee. I love that. Neither do I condemn thee. God isn't condemning anyone tonight. He's coming out in grace, amazing grace. He wants to bless everyone. He wants to help everyone. He wants to give everyone eternal life. They would have killed this woman. According to the law of Moses, they would have killed this woman. They would do it without any problem. That's the heart of man, isn't it? That's our hearts. Deceived above all things and wicked. It wasn't Jesus' heart. He had a heart of love. A different love. A different kind of man. Neither do I condemn thee. Those words ring through to this very moment in 2013. Neither do I condemn thee. No condemnation. God is not condemning anybody. He wants all to come to the Saviour. What a wonderful word that was. Neither do I condemn thee. This woman got it personally from the lips of Jesus, the Son of God, God manifest in flesh, the greatest person in the universe, said to her, no, I don't condemn you either. But you should be condemned. She's a sinner. We all should be condemned. We're sinners. No, I don't condemn you, he says. Didn't condemn her, and he exposed the hearts of those who brought her. And our hearts are exposed when we think of the spotless, sinless, holy Saviour and our hearts of sin. They would have killed her. No, he says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. I'll go into that other go and sin no more later, but this is what impresses me. Neither do I condemn. There was no one to condemn her. They'd all gone out, every single one of the accusers. The Lord was still surrounded by many, many people. All the people were still there. There were no accusers there, though. They'd all been deleted. The accusers went away. Jesus was there with the woman and the crowd of people. Jesus wants to spend time with this woman. He wants to spend time with you. Or you say, but Lord, you better get on with the teaching. All these people, wait for you to teach them. Just a minute. There's one person here who needs my attention. Maybe one person is full tonight, needs the Lord's attention. He will stop what he's doing. He will stop. He'll give you his time. Give you his love. Give you his assurance. He'll stop. Stop for one person. All the people there, well, the Lord will stop and attend to you because he loves you. Every single person is valuable. So he said to them, he won't give anybody the chance, and let him, any person who would dare to say they're not a sinner, even they wouldn't do that, out they went. So none of us will say we're not sinners. We're all sinners. God says we're all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, then we should be condemned. No condemnation. God is waiting in grace. The Lord waited. He spent time. Oh, I like it. He said, no, I don't condemn you either. But she'd been taking a very serious fault. So have we all been taking very serious faults. We're all sinners. We all do our own will. We all want to do what we want to do. You see, we don't want God in our lives. If you don't want God in your life and you keep God out of your life all your life, you won't be in God's life. Quite solemn, isn't it? God wants to give you eternal life. Jesus Christ offers you eternal life. How? By repentance toward God about your sins. These people all knew they were sinners. They didn't have repentance, though. They just went out. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord was here, and neither I condemned it. How could the Lord say that? According to the law of Moses, she should be condemned. What she had done. How could the Lord say that? This is why he could say it, because he was going to the cross to shed his precious blood, to become the sin bearer. He took her sin in himself, in his body, on the tree. He took it. I don't condemn you. I'll suffer for it. And he had to suffer for it. Suffer at the hand of man, suffer mainly at the hand of God. Why? Did God want to do that to Jesus? Never. He didn't want to do that, but Jesus took our place. He became the sin bearer. He took our place as a sinner. God didn't judge Jesus because of who he was. He judged him because he took our place. He said, I'll stand in the breach. I'll be the one who you can judge. Let these go free. What a gospel preaching. Let these go free. I'll suffer for them. The Lord could say, I don't condemn you. I'll be condemned. The Lord was condemned, you know. He was condemned on the cross. Men condemned him, and then the Lord Jesus was made sin for us, and God extended his wrath against him. Not against him personally. He was always the Son. So in the Father's heart, that link in sonship wasn't broken. But the relationship was broken. The relationship wasn't broken. The enjoyment of it was broken. He was alone. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why alone? Because he was there for us, for you and me. Oh dear friend, don't try and say you're a sinner. God is extending his love to you as a sinner. He wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. The Lord went to death. You might have eternal life. And he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Who could keep this man in death? Perfect, holy, spotless, sinless Saviour. Son of God. Nothing could keep him in death. He could raise the dead, but nobody could keep him in death. Wow, what a message. Neither do I condemn you. That comes to all of us tonight. No condemnation. It says in the Bible, no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Have you told God you're a sinner? Have you said, Lord, save me? I need saving. I don't want to go to condemnation. No condemnation tonight. There will be later. I have to be faithful and tell you that there is, we're going to be a condemnation. The Lord spoke a lot about hell. And those who refuse the message, those who purposely keep God out of their lives, say, get out of my life, I don't want you in my life, will spend eternity away from him. God doesn't force himself on you. Very interesting, isn't it? God appeals to you in grace. Appeals to you in grace, you might come to him. Recognize you're a sinner. God can't have sin in his presence. But he loves you. Neither do I condemn you, as she said. He says, I'm prepared to suffer for you, that you might be saved. What a saviour. What a message. Comes straight from his very heart. Of course you'd be condemned. Then he says, go and sin no more. Interesting, isn't it? Of course it was a very serious sin in those days. And of course, according to the law of Moses, a person should be stoned. The Lord is saying, don't sin again. Like that. He isn't saying be perfect. Because we know all Christians are not perfect. We know that from other scriptures that when we are Christians, we do sin. We make mistakes. We sin. And we have Jesus is the high priest. He is the one who speaks to the Father about us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins. There's no saints around here. None at all. Only sinners. We're all sinners. Heaven's open to sinners. Sinners saved by grace. Isn't it wonderful? God saves in amazing grace. He saves us. He makes us righteous. Not that we are righteous. He makes us like Christ. Oh, the best robe. You think of it. That's what the Father did. Put the best robe on the chap. Wow. Did he deserve it? No. Did he get it? Yes. Do we deserve salvation? No. Do we get it? Yes. It's available to all. If you tell God you're a sinner, just ask you as a Saviour. In your own words, you can say it. Lord, I'm here. I need you in my life. I don't want to be condemned. God doesn't want to condemn anybody. Hell is there for those who refuse God. But God doesn't want to send anybody there. It's not made for man. It's made for the devil and his angels. No condemnation. I love that. I don't do it either. These persons did condemn him. Did condemn her in their heart. They tried to drag her in front of the Lord. Interrupted his teaching to all these many, many people. Hundreds, I expect. Probably thousands. Jerusalem was a big city. Interrupted the Lord. Put her in the midst and said, there you are. There's the very act. What are you going to say about that? What skill. What wonderful touch. What grace. Didn't say a word, but on the ground. Now the Lord said to her, none do I condemn thee. My impression is that he would write, as what he would write, I'm not going to suggest what he would write, but it would be in the spirit of forgiveness he would write. It's been said, the first stoop is like the stoop into manhood. The Lord Jesus Christ was God, manifest in flesh. He was God over all, blessed forever, came into his creation, the first stoop. The second stoop was like his stooping to death. Oh, why did he go there? For you and me. Did he need to go there? Not a bit. The only man had a right to live, prepared to give up his life. What a saviour. Neither do I condemn you. There's no condemnation. You come to God in repentance. Say God, like the man in the gate, the temple said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He found an answer. God doesn't turn anyone aside. The proud, arrogant man, these proud, arrogant scribes and Pharisees who took this and we've got you now and we're going to take you from Jesus and we're going to prove him that he's wrong. That was their objective. Prove that Jesus was wrong. What would he say to this one? This will catch him out. Can't catch the Saviour out. He knows all the answers. He knows the answer to your problem in your life. He loves you. His love is so much. He says, I don't condemn you. I will suffer for you. So it's needed. The Lord couldn't forgive anybody their sins. And he couldn't do anything for anybody unless he was prepared to go this way himself and suffer for our sins. You know? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Lord had to shed his blood. He had to go into death. He had to give up his life. He was the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The whole world is now in reconciliation through the work of Christ. The Lord went into death and rose from the dead, is now in heaven. Heavens must receive him. Oh, what a saviour in heaven tonight. Celebrate it. Rejoice in it. Shout about it. Risen saviour in heaven tonight. All Christians looking for that moment he'll come and take us to heaven. What would it be like to be in heaven with him? Wonderful. Amazing. We won't go in these bodies. We shall be changed when the Lord comes. Body of glory like his. Like him. Ooh, wow. What a thought. Be like him. Grace supreme. Like him before thy face, to praise God eternally, to enjoy that bliss of eternal life, eternal love of God. Eternal life is given to us now to enjoy. When you come to Jesus as your Saviour, he gives you the Holy Spirit in your heart. When I first came, I received the Holy Spirit, didn't know it. I carry on the same way. I don't feel any different. I thought to myself, well, what's gone wrong? I don't feel any different. Now I'm a Christian, I'm no different. But you see, the Holy Spirit works in your heart. I think to myself, just a minute. You're not on the way to hell, Bernard. You're on the way to heaven. Then surely this man who saved you is Jesus. God's forgiven you. Give you his Holy Spirit. You want to do something for him? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you should do something for him. Like the man who came back. 10 were cleansed and one came back and gave glory to God. I thought, you can't waste your life, Bernard. You've got the Holy Spirit. You need just to come to be a serviceable to the Lord. The Holy Spirit brings that desire in your heart. don't get it straight away, maybe. Some people do. Paul got an amazing conversion, changed him immediately. Wow! He was an opposer of Christ and hurting Christians to, what were they having to do? And he preached immediately, Jesus, the Son of God. That's Paul. He's a special. We're not like that. Not many of us have Paul, Saul's conversion experience. Usually it's a gradual thing. I don't mean conversion's gradual. We come to it, we may hear it, it could be gradual. We hear the gospel many times, we think, I heard it many times, I thought, well, I'm not sure about this. Then one evening, night, I thought, this is it, Bernard, if you don't take it now, you may miss it, man. You take it. It's open, the door's open wide. Not almost a Christian, altogether a Christian. Come on now, face reality altogether. Lord, I said, Lord, save me. I was saved. I received the Holy Spirit. And then I realised that I wanted to serve the Lord. I wanted to tell us about the Lord. Now, there was an incident in the Bible. I'm finished now. Incident in the Bible when the Lord helped somebody, and they wanted to follow with him. No, no, he said, you go back to the city and say to them what great things the Lord has done for you. He went back to 10 cities and preached in 10 cities. I can't preach in 10 cities. But I do want to tell others what great things God has done for me. Wonderful, isn't it? What God has done. He'll change your life, give you eternal life, he'll give you a blessing. Life won't be a bed of roses. Oh no, it's not for anybody. No, no. Christians go through things the same as unbelievers do, but differently. With unbelievers go through it with no hope. A Christian goes through it with hope. And he has the assurance that Christ is with him. And what happens when we go through difficult circumstances? That develops our character. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful. You go through things as Christians with the Lord with you. The Lord's name is a strong tower. If you're in problems in life, call out to the Lord. If somebody attacked me in the street, what would I do? I don't know. What would I do? I thought about that. I think I'd say, in the name of Jesus Christ, leave me alone. Wow. People stop, you know, the name of Jesus Christ. It's a powerful name. Powerful name of Jesus. All these things are experiences which Christians go through. It becomes an adventure. Christian life becomes an adventure. One thrill to the next. Not always a thrill, but one experience to the next. Lord, thou art with me. Whom shall I fear? Thou art with me. Whom shall I fear? No need to fear. There's no judgment, no condemnation, neither do I condemn thee. The Lord said, don't want in this sin that you've been in. Very serious sin. But the Lord Jesus now is on high as a high priest. If we sin, we have him to turn to. Nobody else. Don't go and confess to anybody else. Don't tell anybody else. Just tell Jesus. He can forgive you straight away. And you can carry on your Christian life. Not that we should habitually sin. The Christian doesn't want to habitually sin. He may fall into it, or she may fall into it. But God gives the Holy Spirit. And our desire, the Holy Spirit gives us desires after Jesus. We want to serve the Lord. I want to be able to tell others about you. You've done so much for me, I want to tell others. That's the desire in the Christian heart. The Holy Spirit brings it about in time. Don't be discouraged if you don't feel like that. If you've given your heart to Jesus, don't be discouraged if things are moving slowly. Things do move slowly sometimes. Don't worry. God's not going to condemn you. He's going to bless you. What an amazing God we have. Loves us. Will provide for us eternally. Will make sure we're satisfied and happy and provided for eternally. What a God! The hymn says, how shall we sing thy praise? No condemnation. The Lord isn't condemning us. God isn't condemning us. He wants to bless us. May all of us here know the blessing. Saying to God, we're sinners. That's what we've got to say. Feel you're a sinner. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You claim nothing. Come at the feet of Jesus. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Put faith in Jesus, in what he's done for you. Lord, save me. Peter, we spoke about emergency prayer this afternoon in the reading. Peter, on the lake, let out an emergency prayer. Wow, Lord, save me. Wow, that was quick work. Other prayers are not so quick. Other prayers are not so emergency. This was, he was sinking. What did the Lord do? Well, he went away. I think I may have said in the preaching before, when you come to Jesus, he takes your hand in his. He'll never, never, never let go of that hand. If all the world comes against you, everything goes wrong, hold on. The Lord will not let go of your hand. He is an all the way home saviour. He'll see you from time into eternity, come what may. He's the saviour to have. No condemnation. May you come to him today in repentance and faith. May you know in your own heart you've come to Jesus. Just tell him, so many words, just where you are. Not when you get home or later or tomorrow or the day after. Just where you are. If the word comes to you, and our prayer was that God might speak to our hearts. If he's spoken to our hearts, just say to Jesus, simply, Lord, save me.
Amen.